Welcome back to Mayo Clinic Medical Edge Radio. Dr. Tom Shives along with Tracy McCray and this week's guest in studio, Professor of Ophthalmology at Mayo Rochester, Dr. Sophie Bakri. Dr. Bakri, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Tom.
In studio. You've joined us by telephone before, but now you're right here. Good to have you. And also joining us by telephone in just a couple of minutes is Dr. Jennifer Lim from the
University.
Is she?
She's with us.
Well, put her on. Jennifer Lim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Thank you so much for being with us. You're in Illinois, in Chicago, right?
Right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, now, both of these women are retina specialists. So, Dr. Bakri, what is a retina specialist?
So, a retina specialist is an ophthalmologist, in other words, a medical doctor who's specialized in diseases of the eye, but has also taken it a step further and specialized in diseases of the retina and diseases and surgery of the retina, which is, as you know, the camera of the eye.
All right, so it's the film in the back of the camera. Is that probably the best way to explain it? So when the light comes in through the front of the eye, it ends up on the back of the eye, and that's called the retina.
Correct, and then the retina processes the images and sends them to the brain.
Now, when you say ophthalmologist, what's the difference between what you and Dr. Lim do and, let's say, an optometrist?
So Dr. Lim and I both specialize in retinal diseases, and we're licensed to give drugs and injections and perform surgery and lasers, whereas optometrists are more the primary eye doctors, and they check your vision and prescribe eyeglasses, for example, and are able to make referrals to subspecialists or ophthalmologists for treatment.
We should take a step back for just a moment and say this is kind of an unusual situation we have here. Dr. Bakri in the studio with us and Dr. Lim from another institution joining us. And the two of you, though, getting together for Low Vision Awareness Month. And what was the other one? It was Macular Degeneration Awareness Month?
Correct.
All right. Well, Dr. Lim, tell us a little bit about you and what you do in Chicago.
Good morning, Tracy. I, too, am a retina specialist, just like Dr. Bakri, and I work at the University of Illinois. And in addition to taking care of patients with macular degeneration and diabetes, just like Dr. Bakri, I take care of a whole host of other retinal conditions that can affect people ranging in age from babies all the way up to our senior citizens. And so we operate on the eye, we diagnose medical conditions, and we treat them both medically and surgically.
Is an ophthalmologist, you can dilate the eye and actually get a better look at the retina as opposed to an optometrist? Is that one of the differences?
Well, actually, no. Both of us can put drops in the eye and dilate and look at the eye. But an ophthalmologist has gone through additional training to diagnose special conditions that affect the eye, and particularly for us, we did extra training of another 2 years besides our 3 years of residency in ophthalmology in order to specialize specifically on the retina. And so, then we can also manage these patients with injectables into the eye, lasers, and surgery, which optometrists cannot do.
So it took 5 years following medical school to learn what you guys do.
Correct.
You women do. So what we want to concentrate on today are those conditions of the retina that cause loss of vision, even blindness. And Dr. Bakri is going to talk to us about macular degeneration, which is the most common cause of blindness among adults over the age of 60. And you, Dr. Lim, are going to fill us in on diabetic retinopathy. So tell us how diabetes affects the eye and how that can lead to vision loss.
Unfortunately, diabetes works rather insidiously and can slowly cause problems in your retina even before you have any symptoms. And what happens with diabetes is that early on, the blood sugar levels go up. And as the blood sugar levels rise in your body, they cause damage to the small blood vessels in your retina. And early on, it causes one form of diabetic retinopathy known as non-proliferative retinopathy. And this is really the earliest stage of the disease. And because these blood vessels are now weakened in your retina and they're damaged, they begin to leak fluid into the center part of your retina called the macula. And when the fluid accumulates there, it causes thickening in your macula, known as macular edema, and this results in decreased vision. Now, with time, not only do the blood vessels leak and cause swelling, but they can also cause blood vessels to sometimes close off entirely, and then you can suffer catastrophic visual loss. Over time, usually, this form of non-proliferative diabetes can progress to more advanced forms such as proliferative diabetic retinopathy. And when this happens, because the blood supply now in the retina has decreased, the body tries to compensate, and it makes abnormal, fragile new blood vessels. And these blood vessels begin to grow on top of the retina or proliferate, and this is known as proliferative diabetic retinopathy.
And that can happen quite soon when a person gets diabetes, right? Is it right that sometimes the eye doctor is the first person that can tell someone that they might have diabetes?
That's absolutely right, Tracy. It can. But what probably has been going on is that the patient has been diabetic and didn't know it for a while, and that these changes were already happening in their retina. And so it's really, really important for patients, as soon as they're diagnosed with diabetes, to really get a baseline eye exam and be checked.
And how does this differ, the condition that she's talking about? What's the difference between that kind of retinal disease and what you see, Dr. Bakri, or macular degeneration? I know you see them both, but...
So macular degeneration is quite a common disease of the elderly, and it occurs primarily in patients over the age of 60. And instead of the retina aging normally, it starts to be diseased and have deposits that form underneath the macula, which is the part responsible for central vision. And these deposits are known as drusen, and they accumulate and they can coalesce together. And in that respect, they can decrease the central vision. And patients often notice wavy or blurred central vision. So that's the very earliest stage. And at some point, what can happen is, due to an unknown trigger, the macular degeneration can turn into the wet kind. And that means that there's an abnormal blood vessel making its way from the choroid into the retina.
Choroid.
The choroid is one of the inner layers of the eye.
Okay.
It's called choroidal neovascularization. It's one of the hallmarks of macular degeneration.
I you can see why you two had to go to school for so long, because just to learn the vocabulary, you'd have to.
But when it goes from dry macular degeneration to wet is when it really progresses and is much more severe. Is that fair to say?
Well, that actually might be a myth, because dry macular degeneration has various stages. At the earliest stage, you might have one or two drusen deposits. And in the later stages, these drusen deposits coalesce, or you can get atrophy of the retina, which is death of the cells in the macula. And so dry can have the two extremes. And the wet macular degeneration, when you get those blood vessels, can cause leakage of the vessels and edema or swelling in the retina and obviously blood. And left untreated, you can get a large blind spot that can continue to enlarge and cause blindness.
Now, age is the number one risk factor, right?
Yes.
As you age, that you're more likely to get this. Now, why do some people get macular degeneration and others not? Do we know that?
We think that it's genetic, and there are a lot of genetic studies going on now to try to identify who may be at risk. But it's, as well as being genetic, it's multifactorial, and there are obviously environmental factors that can affect this.
All right. Myth or matter of fact,
I was just
high doses
say,
of vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants will prevent macular degeneration?
I would say half truth, Tom.
As all of them,
she's waffling a little.
The good ones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that, we've heard that. Well, we need to say that Paul Harvey, for so many years, and speaking of Chicago, where Dr. Lim is, that's where Paul Harvey was, and that's what he sold these vitamins for a company for so many years. And I have heard for some people that they work, but so some it does and some it doesn't.
So maybe not, huh? Dr.
Well, Bakker? there's a certain stage of macular degeneration in which high-dose vitamins and minerals are recommended, and that's called the intermediate stage of dry macular degeneration. And you have to remember that there's a certain formulation called the AREDS formulation, the Age-Related Eye Disease Study formulation, that is supposed to not prevent but slow down macular degeneration. Now, if you're a young, healthy person and you know your mother or father has macular degeneration and you start taking those vitamins, then to our knowledge, it will not prevent you getting macular degeneration.
Dr. Lim, if people don't want to take vitamins, what about dietary things? What should people be eating today to help have healthier eyes?
basically, if you're diabetic, let's take that scenario first, you need to eat foods that will control your blood sugar level as well as your blood pressure. And actually, the better under control both your sugars and your blood pressures are, the lower the risk that you will develop these diabetic changes known as diabetic retinopathy. So aside from that, heart-healthy diets in general are good for your eyes, and specifically for macular degeneration, lots of green leafy vegetables, lots of fresh fruits and fresh fish have been associated with better outcomes with that disease.
Hold on, ladies. What about the carrots? I thought we're supposed to eat carrots for better vision. Do carrots help with your eyesight, Dr. Bakri?
Absolutely, they do. But I think they're number two, secondary to the leafy green vegetables, the spinach and the kale.
Okay.
All right. So for both conditions, vitamins and green leafy vegetables are good. But isn't it true, Dr. Lim, that the key to preventing diabetic retinopathy is to keep your blood sugar under control?
Absolutely.
Another thing, smoking, that can aggravate the diabetic retinopathy condition. What about macular degeneration? Are smokers more likely to have that?
Oh, most definitely. That's been shown in a number of studies, and I strongly advise my patients who have macular degeneration to stop smoking.
Let's do another myth or matter of fact before we take our break. Dr. Lim, patients with adult onset diabetes rarely lose their vision. Is that a myth or a matter of fact?
That is most definitely a myth and a very dangerous one, actually. A lot of times patients with type 2 diabetes are more often the type that get the macular edema, you know, the fluid and causing swelling in the center that can lead to visual loss. So they really, really need to go in for an eye exam. More often, they've already had diabetes for a longer duration, and so they're already at more risk of the diabetes causing the retinopathy, and they probably never even knew they had the diabetes until they were diagnosed.
And since we're on the track, Dr. Bakri, myth or matter of fact, everyone with macular degeneration goes blind. Is that myth or matter of fact?
Not in the year 2013, no. I think that patients may go blind if they don't seek medical care and if they don't have their eyes examined. But right now we have wonderful treatments for macular degeneration, and they work very well if the patient is treated early and diagnosed early.
So you have treatments for both the wet and the dry macular degeneration?
So currently the only treatment for dry is the vitamins at a certain stage to slow down the disease. And there are a number of clinical trials that we're doing on dry macular degeneration. But the treatments that exist are currently for the wet macular degeneration.
All right. And, you know, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about treatment. But one of the interesting ways that you treat both of these conditions is injections. And I'm not sure, you know, just thinking about that, you know, you wonder. But we'll talk about that. Plus, we'll talk a little bit more about vitamins. And I think laser may come into the picture here, too, with regard to treatment of both of these conditions. Right, Dr. Bakri?
Definitely.
All right, you're listening to Mayo Clinic Medical Edge Radio. Our guest eye specialist, Dr. Sophie Bakri from the Mayo Clinic, and Dr. Jennifer Lim from the University of Illinois in Chicago.
It was a big week for deer antlers.
Oh, it was. And,
Tom,
you know, I can't wait to have Dr. Joyner in here to give us the straight scoop on deer antler spray and deer antler as a supplement. Is there anything to this? Plus, this week's Health and Medical News with Vivian Williams coming up, and then your opportunity to join our program by telephone, through our website, or hashtag Mayo Radio. This is Medical Edge Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network. Welcome back to Mayo Clinic Medical Edge Weekend. Dr. Tom Shives along with Tracy McRae. And this week's guests are both retina specialists, both ophthalmologists, Dr. Sophie Bakri from Mayo Clinic Rochester and Dr. Jennifer Lim from the University of Illinois in Chicago. And now it is time for you to join our program. There are three ways for you to do that. 507-282-1234, or you can go to our website, radio.mayoclinic.org. Leave your question or your comment there. Or you can tweet us, hashtag Mayo Radio. We'll be taking your phone calls, your tweets, and your questions from our blog.
We have got a full bank of phone calls, 507-282-1234, and quite a few questions being tweeted to us as well. But we're going to start with age-related macular degeneration. Dave is on the line. Good morning, Dave. Go right ahead with your question.
I've got two questions. I'm a 84-year-old male, otherwise healthy, diagnosed with AMD, a non-smoker. My question one is there any difference between AREDS and AREDS 2 if you're a non-smoker? And number two, Can the light flashes that they use to take pictures of your eyes damage the eyes?
All right, Dr. Barker, you're on.
Great questions, Dave. So there is a difference between AREDS and AREDS 2. AREDS 2 actually has not been proven yet. It's still in clinical trials. It's still in the AREDS 2 trial.
Now, this is a vitamin formulation we're talking about, right?
Correct. It's a vitamin formulation. AREDS 2 has, in addition to the five vitamins and minerals, some omega-3 fatty acids and lutein. And although we think that there is scientific evidence for that, we don't have clinical trial evidence.
All right, so stick with AREDS 1.
Stick with AREDS 1, but optional is the lutein and the omega-3 fatty acids.
All right, and his second question about the eye exam, I think he's talking about?
So the eye examination has not been shown to be harmful to the eye. Certainly it is a very brief flash of light, although it may seem like forever to you, but that has been shown to be very safe.
All right, thanks for calling in, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, let's go. Dr. Lim, we have a question for you that was tweeted to us about macular degeneration. This person wants to know, since it progresses slowly, what would trigger a high index of suspicion for the doctor aside from the patient's symptoms? What is it that tips off the doctor that they have macular degeneration? Dr. Lim?
Oh.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Tracy. So aside from if the patient doesn't have any symptoms, then we have to look at their eye and see if they have little yellow spots called drusen. Those are the earliest sign of macular degeneration. In other cases, there might be some fluid seeping underneath the retina, some blood, or some other yellow spots called lipid. And those would also be signs that there's more advanced macular degeneration.
So those drusens that you said, can a person see those? If someone was looking at my eye, could they see them if they're not a doctor?
If your eye is dilated and they have a picture of your retina, they would see yellow spots. They might not know they're drusen, but they would see the yellow spots. But you would need specialized equipment to look directly at the retina.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a gross screening test, and let's say you haven't been to your ophthalmologist for a while or your optometrist, there's a test out there called the Amsler Grid Test. Is that a good way to check your vision, and how do you do that?
I think it's a good screening test. It's not perfect, as you know, most screening tests are not. But it's a little piece of paper with little black lines on it that are in the shapes of boxes. And what this does is it enables the person to look at this grid and detect whether there are any parts of the grid that don't look quite right. In other words, are parts of the lines wavy, or does part of the grid look a little bit swollen, like it's pulled out, or basically just not straight.
All right, and you can get this on the internet, right?
Absolutely.
Savingvision.org?
Yes.
All right.
Let's go back to the phones, 507-282-1234. Joanne is on the line. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Go right ahead with your question.
Yes. For a long time, they said I had macular degeneration. But recently, I had pictures taken of my eye, and they say I have, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I will spell it to you. It's T-E-L-A-N-G-I-E-C-T-A-S-I-A.
How do you pronounce that, Dr. Bakri?
Telangiectasias.
And what does that mean?
So I assume that Joanne is talking about the telangiectasias, that are the tiny little blood vessels that are squiggly on the retina. And that's a totally different condition to macular degeneration. It's a condition that happens in patients in their 50s who may be borderline diabetic. And they start to get these squiggly blood vessels that may leak and affect the vision. But it generally doesn't affect the vision too badly.
Okay, is it, so that's a good news, huh?
Is it affecting your vision quite a bit, Joanne, or just a little?
Well, you be the judge. It's 2200.
Well, I think it is affecting the vision quite a bit then. Maybe you don't have the full name of the diagnosis.
And you might need a little bit more research on that.
Well, he is going to have me back next month. He said it was a rare condition. And he said to come back next month to see if there's been any changes. I lost my driver's license due to the fact that I can no longer see enough to meet the state requirement.
Okay, well, good luck with your next appointment.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, Joanne.
Dr. Bakri, could she be, if she at first was macular degeneration with the diagnosis, and now with this, could you have both of them at the same time? Can you have both situations happening?
It would be quite rare. I mean, there are some diseases that look like macular degeneration that are not. And so I really encourage her to see a retina specialist and get the full gamut of testing.
Dr. Lim, we spoke at the very beginning of the hour about the difference between an optometrist and an ophthalmologist. And from that conversation, we had a tweet from Susie who said, "Can an optometrist at least diagnose an issue? I have extreme nearsightedness and see one yearly." So Susie wants to know, should she drop her optometrist and start going to an ophthalmologist?
I think Susie should still go to her optometrist, but perhaps may also want to see a retina specialist if she has severe myopia. The optometrist obviously can make her glasses or contact lenses, and they most certainly can diagnose most retinal diseases.
All right, and
however,
by myopia, you mean nearsightedness.
Nearsightedness,
sorry, go ahead.
Right, high nearsightedness. But if she's very highly nearsighted, she may benefit from a very thorough, in-depth exam by a retina specialist where we push on the eye and look for tiny holes around the edges of the eye or look for some subtleties in the macula. It might just be a good idea to get an ophthalmologist to screen her also.
Okay, thank you.
I think you both have said that people over age 50 ought to see an ophthalmologist every other year, correct?
Correct,
yes.
Let's go back to the phones, 507-282-1234. Dr. Lim, we'll let you take one of these questions. Joanne is on the line. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to know, I am diabetic, but I have been for 16 years, and I go every year, and so far, no problems. But does glaucoma have anything to do with being diabetic?
I'm glad to hear that you go every year, Joanne, because that's really, really important when you're diabetic to find any diabetic retinopathy. As far as glaucoma goes, there really is no risk for glaucoma causing the diabetes. Although, if you have diabetes and you have a form of diabetes affecting your eye, you can develop glaucoma.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
And we're going to go over to line two because Nort apparently was looking at my show notes and has a question about the next thing that I was going to ask. So, Nort, go right ahead with your question.
Yes. Well, I've been diagnosed with macular degeneration probably for about 15 years now. I'm 70. I have noticed that there's no my eyesight is good yet. As far as I know, I haven't noticed any degeneration in it. But lately I've heard something about I do take an aspirin, a baby aspirin, every day, and I was wondering, and I heard something that could be detrimental to macular degeneration.
Yeah, so my myth or matter of fact was taking aspirin increases your risk for macular degeneration. Dr. Bakri, help us.
That's a great question. So there was a recent study published in JAMA that came from Australia that said that patients who were on aspirin may be at increased risk of getting macular degeneration, especially 10 years after being on aspirin. And certainly that conflicts with previous studies that said that aspirin did not affect macular degeneration. So as a retina specialist, I advise patients to stay on aspirin per the recommendations of their primary doctor, because we wouldn't want you to die from a heart attack or a stroke because of a slightly increased risk of macular degeneration in the future.
So stay the course, Nort.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
507-282-1234. Betty from Northern Minnesota has a question that Tom just does not want to hear, Betty, but go ahead and give us your question anyway.
Okay. I have wet macular degeneration, and I've had about 20 shots, and I'm wondering if there's any harm in that or if I should continue them or stop or what?
The shots in the eye for that.
Yeah, explain that in as gentle a way as you can, would you?
It's making him cringe, Dr. Bakri.
So injections into the eye of a medication that blocks the growth factors, in other words, an anti-VEGF medication, have been shown to be the most effective way of treating wet macular degeneration. Now, the downside is that these have to be given monthly. But if you think about it, if you were on high blood pressure pills, that has to be given daily forever. And diabetics have to have insulin injections at least daily. And so these injections are monthly, and yes, they may continue forever. Now, there is a chance that your disease could stop by itself and that you may need less of the injections over time, but I would stick the course because these injections have been shown to maintain or improve vision in over 90% of patients.
Wow, interesting. So there is pretty good treatment for wet macular degeneration, and you have to keep it up basically forever.
Correct. So long as you keep it up and it's diagnosed early.
Our phone lines are full, but we are running out of time, so we want everybody to just hold on the line, and Dr. Bakri can speak with you after our program is done. But we want to go back to Chicago and Dr. Lim. Dr. Lim, when it comes to diabetic retinopathy, what should people with diabetes know about taking care of their vision, or what do you want people to take away from today?
That's a good question, Tracy. Really, when they are diabetic, patients really need to realize that the best way that they can protect their eyes is to, one, keep their blood sugar under control, and specifically they should want to get their hemoglobin A1C less than 7. So they should know that and mention that to their internist. The second thing is they should control their blood pressure, because out-of-control blood pressure combined with diabetes is not a good thing and increases the risk for diabetic retinopathy. And then secondly, they also need to see their ophthalmologist at least once a year and really be vigilant about their control.
Very good.
All right.
And it's Macular Degeneration Awareness Month. Dr. Bakri, what do you want people to know about MD?
I'd like people to have hope and know that macular degeneration can be treated very successfully if it's diagnosed early. So to diagnose macular degeneration early, you have to be very aware of symptoms that may occur and also visit with your ophthalmologist once a year and get diagnosed.
All right, Dr. Jennifer Lim from the University of Illinois, Chicago, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed being with you guys today.
All right. You bet. And Dr. Sophie Bakri, professor of ophthalmology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. So bottom line, get an eye exam every year with an ophthalmologist if you're over the age of 50. If you have diabetes and want to prevent diabetic retinopathy, keep your blood sugar under control and keep your blood pressure under control. And make sure that if you have macular degeneration, you catch it early, correct? Vitamins to help prevent that. And there is good treatment for wet MD.
Correct, Tom.
Dr. Bakri, thanks so much for being with us.
And don't forget those leafy greens.
Yeah, that's right. And hold the deer antler spray. We'll be back to tell you about next week's program.